The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Bill Buckmaster with you. Efren, our intern, summer intern on the other side of the glass. Efren, thank you very much for your fine internship here at KVOI, producing and engineering the show on the other side of the glass. And Ray Allen is there with Efren to make sure everything goes well, but it always does. The Buckmaster Show on this Wednesday, it is the 6th of June, 2018, and of course, we need to mark today as a special day in the history of the United States, the 74th D-Day anniversary of the Allied landing at Normandy, France. We'll never forget, and we shouldn't forget, the sacrifice of all the men and women that on this day began the retaking, the refreeding, freedomizing. If there is such a word, I don't know if there is, but I just
let's
made
say
it.
There is.
Yeah, let's say there is. Thank you, Dr. Mark Stegeman. But anyway, the thought is certainly with, and we've still got some of our veterans from World War II with us. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. We have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, podcasts and the complete archive available. Pretty much every show, Dr. Mark Stegeman, that we have done here on the radio since I left Channel 6, when we started the first week of 2011, we've got them pretty much archived, now becoming of historic significance from 2011.
I would think so.
Yeah, and very easy to use on the archive. The live line number 790-2040 for your calls and comments. If you've got anything that you'd like to add about Tucson Unified School District, now would be a great time to call in. Dr. Mark Stegeman is the president of the board at TUSD, the governing board. Now, under the arrangement that was worked out on the board, he and Michael Hicks will be kind of swapping. Mr. Hicks will take over as president at the end of June. Is that correct?
Right. So I'm in the home stretch here.
What was that? What was that all about? Why did you decide to go that way? And first of all, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Bill. It's always a pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was because the board is sufficiently divided that each having one person, any one person for the whole year would have made at least one person very unhappy. And this way, nobody's unhappy for the whole year. That was part of it. And I wanted to do the first half between the two halves. I wanted to do the first half because the budget issues, the student discipline issues, some other issues were pressing. And I wanted to be able to drive those a little bit.
Well, there's so many issues right now. Were you at that school security forum last night?
Oh, yes. Our timing wasn't perfect. It would have been better during the school year. But the fair number of people did show up, and it...
What was the venue? Where was it?
Catalina High School, okay. Which is where we usually have that kind of thing because they have a nice auditorium. Mm-hmm. And it was actually very productive. People came and made a lot of useful comments, some things I don't think we had thought about. And so I felt, and I think the superintendent felt, that we got a lot out of it.
Hmm.
And I want to do more of that kind of thing. Town halls isn't something TUSD has done much of. And I think we didn't get the format quite right, so we can rethink that. But I want to do more.
Is there any money for school security for the new budget?
There's no designated money that I know of. We did get some funding increases, as everyone knows this year.
I mean, you're looking for nickels and quarters under the cushions.
Well, in some sense. Yes. But we have already invested quite a bit in school security. We had a nice presentation by our school safety director, who is highly competent, about the locking arrangements, all the other things they have done.
Video cameras.
Cameras, we had a lot of discussion about cameras. A lot of schools have cameras in different places and threat, different levels of threat alerts and training. We had a lot of talk about training, including in some cases even training students a little bit. Just, I mean, they're not going to be as...
doing duck and cover exercises.
No, but yeah. Just if something happens, right. You know, what should your first instinct be?
Of course.
You know, so don't panic. Mm-hmm. Think about these three things, you know, and do these three things. I think that makes sense.
But generally, are the district's 52 schools safe?
We have 86 schools.
Oh, why did I say 52?
Probably because some other media person misled you.
Exactly. That's, you have how many in the portfolio?
86.
Are the 86 schools in the TUSD district safe?
Well, most of them are reasonably well secured. That was part of the breakdown we got last night. Different schools are at different stages, but a lot of work has been done already. And he outlined what's going to happen going forward. I think TUSD is fortunate in having a dedicated school safety staff headed by someone I think is very competent. Not all districts are that lucky. And so he really understands this business.
Oh, you're talking about your head of security?
Yeah, Jeff Coleman, who's been head of security there.
So you'd like to do a shout out to him?
Yeah, absolutely. And his staff. He is one of our very professional, very competent people who's been with us for 6 or 7 years now, I guess.
I think the big story, and we could spend probably a half an hour talking just about this, is the situation with property owners are very confused, Dr. Mark Stegeman, about are they going to see a big jump here in their property taxes because of TUSD and what went out the legislature. Folks just don't understand what's going on. Could you give us the bottom line?
Well, it helps to give a little bit of background, I think, because it is confusing.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a constitutional prohibition, I guess, passed by the voters many years ago before I was around. I mean, around in this business, mm-hmm. saying that homeowners cannot pay more than 1%. But since in any jurisdiction, there may be many taxing authorities, right? So you may be paying property tax to the city of Tucson, to TUSD, to Pima County. What the Constitution says is the sum can't be more than 1%.
Mm-hmm.
But then who's responsible, right? Who is it that can't tax? It doesn't designate who has priority. Mm-hmm. So what the legislature did for many years, they had a statute that said, we will make up the difference.
Okay.
So if it adds up to more than 1%, you don't have to worry about it. We'll pick up the difference.
Okay.
But then they got rid of that.
Okay.
The Pima County sued a couple years ago and said, you can't do that. And Pima County won because... then no one knew who was responsible. It really didn't make any sense. And so this is another shot they've taken at trying to reduce the state's payment. But this time, instead of just refusing to pay any of it, of the overage, they said, we don't want to pay for desegregation in particular.
Okay.
All right. But the way they did it was by shifting deseg out of the primary tax into the secondary tax.
So they targeted TUSD.
Well, the law applies equally to everyone. It happens to turn out that TUSD takes by far the largest hit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a combination of where we are in terms of property taxes and the size of the DSEG budget. So the overwhelming burden is on TUSD. Now, it's legally complicated. We think there are some flaws in what the legislature did. The county thinks there are some flaws in what the legislature did. And so there will be some sort of action that may provide relief. But I don't want to, get all into that. But there's been a lot of discussion going on. But if we don't get relief, then it's a tough spot because either people will be paying a lot more or we're going to take a significant cut in our DSEG budget. It's one or the other.
And, of course, that brings up the question about the whole DSEG thing that's been going on for 40 years or more maybe. So where are we with that?
We have filed to get out from under court supervision, not immediately, but we filed to get partially out with the clear goal of getting completely out very soon. I think we have a target of relief 2020 in a couple years. Of course, that doesn't mean that will be the end, because even if the district court gives us relief, we may end up in the circuit court on appeal. But my expectation is within 3 or 4 years, we'll be out.
Doesn't that supply some money, though, to your budget, the DSEG?
Oh, Bill, it supplies a lot of money.
Do you have any idea how much?
No, it's $63 million a year.
So if it goes away...
It's about 15% of our budget.
So what happens if it goes away? Where are you going to make up that money?
Well, I was hoping you might contribute,
Bill. let me think about that one during the break here.
If it goes away, we are going to have a huge budget hole to fill.
Yeah, I'd say.
Now, the end of court supervision, say that happens in 3 or 4 years, mm-hmm. does not mean that it goes away, because there are districts all over the state collecting desegregation funds, and we're the only one that's still under court supervision. And so when all those other districts went out from court supervision, they didn't lose the money. Okay. So the interpretation of the statute, the common interpretation, it has not been tested in court as far as I know, but the common interpretation is that if you are continuing to fund the programs that you were funding when you were under court supervision and have a coherent plan for doing that, then you can continue to collect the money. And so the assumption is that everyone else is doing it. TUSD could do it too. So there's no immediate threat to the stream of money, except there have been several attempts in the legislature, this being one flavor of that, to go after it and change the statute. And that's how we could lose the money, by legislative action.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. But before we do, Dr. Stegeman, do you like bakery goods?
I love them.
Oh, no kidding. So do I. Well, my favorite bakery in town is Mona's Danish Bakery. Mona's is the home of the Danish Kringle, and they're located up on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Have you been by yet to Mona's?
I don't think so, but I guess I should.
You should, because owner Steve and Sherry do a lovely job with all their European baked goods. Steve and the team is up really early, Dr. Stegeman. Can you imagine how early you've got to be up as a baker? You know, like probably 3 a.m. But they're doing the breads, which are available right now for your sandwich. If you go by Mona's, have one of those brownies for dessert. Oh, my goodness. Nobody does a better brownie than Mona's Danish Bakery. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Mona's Danish Bakery and all of our fine partners here on the show. Be right back with Dr. Mark Stegeman, TUSD Board President, University of Arizona Economics Full professor?
Associate.
Associate professor.
TUSD hasn't helped my publishing.
Okay. We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here. ¶¶
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday during the noon hour, a newsmaker interview with Tucson City Council member Richard Fimbres, plus a preview of the Fox Tucson Theater fall schedule. That and more noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. It is the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040. For your comments, Dr. Mark Stegeman with us, University of Arizona Associate Professor in Economics, TUSD Board President. We'll talk with Dr. Stegeman about teachers and money in a moment, but first, I want to tell folks about some exciting news from Green Things. Green Things, one of our fine sponsors on River Road, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Guess what? Green Things now has teamed up with Zocalo. Zocalo has that wonderful merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. So Zocalo is going to move over to Green Things on their 13-acre site. So the good news, Dr. Stegeman, for our listeners is, why should they move all the merchandise from the corner, near the corner of Country Club and Broadway, you know, move it all over to Green Things? So why not sell it at a drastically reduced price? You're an economist. Doesn't that make sense?
It might make sense.
Yes. So it's a great buy for folks to check out Zocalo with all that great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America.
I've bought quite a few things at Zocalo.
I wondered if you
had. So I can personally recommend.
Really nice things, yeah. And they're going to expand the line when they get over to Green Things. There'll be items not only from Mexico and Latin America, but Jan and Jack, the owners now of Green Things and now owners of Zocalo, are expanding to bring in European merchandise as well. So that's going to be nice, Zocalo over at Green Things. What's going on with teacher raises? Are the teachers in TUSD going to see more money?
Yes. The legislature, as just about everyone knows, legislature and governor did allocate a significant amount of money for teacher raises. It wasn't what everyone hoped for, but it is significant.
It's a what, 9%, isn't it?
It was an average of 9%.
Okay.
And TUSD is giving about 80%, well, actually a little more than 80% of that to the teachers. I preferred to give 100% of it. I think that was the intent, but we are giving most of it.
Was there a problem with giving all of it to them?
There was some debate. I think that the teachers themselves felt that the support staff had helped them in Redford Ed, had gone up to the Capitol, and that the support staff should share in it. The legislature and the governor didn't see it that way, and my preference was to follow legislative intent and give it to the teachers, entirely to the teachers. Actually, we were already going to give them a raise, and I felt that a small raise. Mm-hmm. And I thought we should go ahead with that and then give all of this on top of it.
Are they still getting the small raise?
Well, no. So altogether, they should have got, in my opinion, about $12.5 million, and instead they're getting a little over $10 million. Mm-hmm. So it's most of it. Mm-hmm. I thought the other reason I wanted to do that is teachers are the positions we are having trouble filling. I mean, the vacancies we've got or teacher vacancies.
Yeah, I'm just wondering about teacher vacancies with fall classes starting in really 2 months now. Yeah.
Right. Well, we have a lot. It's not unique to TUSD. We have been typically, over the last several years, running about 100 vacancies most of the time. It goes up and down. And when you're having trouble filling positions, I'm an economist, the market is telling you one issue is pay. Mm-hmm. But as I say, they did get a significant raise, and that's a good thing.
How about the publicity surrounding TUSD? Is the district still thought of as kind of, not real favorable? To be put it mildly.
Is that
unfair?
Well, I think the brand is not good. I think some of it's unfair, especially recently. I think the superintendent is doing a lot of the right things. I think the media, of course, different parts of the media respond differently, but in the aggregate, tend to zero in on an issue that looks problematic and blow that issue up. Now, in some cases, it actually is a big issue. In some cases, it's really a very small issue. But I think this tends to obscure some of the real progress that we've made.
What is the real progress? Give me some examples.
One big example is that we are shifting a very significant amount of money out of administration and into instruction and direct student support this year, millions of dollars.
That's been one of your big things.
Yes, and for years I wanted the board to set a target for that. Mm-hmm. And this year, for the first time in my 10 years on the board, I had a majority that would do that. And we set a 53% target for instruction, which is still lower than our peer group, but is higher, much higher than anything TUSD has done in years. And I'm very happy about that. I think it's significant.
How'd the board retreat go? This is the first time I've seen you since that retreat in the winter. Are there plans for another one? How did it go, and are there plans for another one?
I personally thought it went very well.
It was moderated by a paid facilitator.
That's right. Mm-hmm. A guy that Dr. Trujillo had previous experience with and recommended. And
you liked him.
I thought he did a good job. The board is difficult. It's not the sort of thing you're going to sit down for 2 hours. Sit down and fix it, right? Mm-hmm. But I thought he had a good start at it, and I was very enthusiastic about bringing him back. His bill was a little higher than expected, and I think that slowed down the momentum for bringing him back. But I think on balance, it will definitely be worth it to bring him back, and I will advocate for that.
Did you notice a change in tone after the at future meeting or subsequent meetings after the retreat?
I did
initially
for a while, initially. And then it sort of faded. The effect faded, seemed to fade over time, and that's why I think a second treatment or a third treatment might be useful. But immediately after the meeting, yes, I think I did.
Hmm. Well, after you pay the bill and install installments, maybe you can bring him back.
Well, awful bill. I think. If the board works better, it's worth it.
Yeah. How do we look now for the next school year as a budget? You have to adopt a budget by the end of the fiscal year, correct?
By July 15th.
Oh, 15th. How'd you get away with that? I thought it...
That's statute.
Oh, okay. All right.
They give us a little slack.
Okay.
So we've been working hard on that. The pay package blew a little bit of a hole in it because in addition to the teacher pay package, the board, I did not support this, adopted a $5 million support staff pay package. Not that the support staff don't
deserve it,
but a lot of that money had been designated for other things. So then you've got to go back and make cuts so you can afford to pay for that raise. But I think we're going to come out with an agreement on the budget within a few weeks. I think it will be funding some new things that are good, and it certainly, as I said, is going to have some significant cuts in administration.
What will the enrollment be in the fall?
We haven't
for the 80-some schools in the TUSD district?
We haven't received projections. They have projections, I'm sure, but something around 44,000-45,000 probably. I think a concern that we have is a number of new charter schools have opened within district boundaries or close to district boundaries, and that the impact of that's a little unpredictable, but not likely to be good.
All right. In the remaining minute or so, folks just joining us on the Buckmaster Show, the headline from our interview today with Dr. Mark Stegeman is that the TUSD will be out of the desegregation order within 4 years.
That's my expectation,
yes,
Bill.
That is your prediction.
Yes.
And that is our headline from our interview today. And it's not only your prediction, but may I say your hope as well.
Oh, yes. My hope might be next year. But I honestly think something like four years is realistic.
Hmm. And it, okay, final thought? And it won't cost a lot of money?
Well, you mean about DSEG?
Yeah.
I think we'll...
You'll make do?
We will try to keep some fraction of the money. I mean, that'll be worked out over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll try to be sure it's used very well. Some of the money, it hasn't all been wasted. Some of it's been well used. And I think we need to focus on those parts.
All right, Dr. Mark Stegeman, current board president. He will leave as board president. He'll stay on the board, but he will no longer be the president. That will be Mr. Hicks will be taking over at the end of June. Thank you very much, Mark. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Bill. Likewise.
12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. Karen Caesar is next. We'll talk about water and the CAP on the midweek edition of Buckmaster. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Humane Society of Southern Arizona's new location is open at 635 West Roger Road. Come fall in love with our pet-friendly cafe. Check out our giant cat habitats or meet a new dog friend in our doggy play yards. You can also bring your pet in for their vaccinations or spay-neuter surgery at our new state-of-the-art clinic. Come see all that we have to offer you and your pet at 635 West Roger Road. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona, saving your future best friend.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and once a quarter here on the program, we focus on one of Arizona's most important resources, arguably, I would say, the most important. It's water. Arizona Water Quarterly, presented by the Central Arizona Project. Your water, your future. With us on the Buckmaster Show, Karen Caesar. Karen, a member of the governing board of CAP, and it has kind of a long acronym, but basically it's kind of the governing board that manages the CAP. Is that kind of the way to put it?
That's perfect.
Yeah,
yes.
There you go. How are things going? I mean, we talked the last time, Karen, about this consumer task force, one of the task forces that you serve on. Are those survey results now available to the public?
Yeah, no, and thank you, Bill. We do have a lot of things going on at CAP, and it's since I've been on the board, it hasn't been any different. But it's always enjoyable, and it's always important work for Arizona. And right now, you're right. Right now, we have the customer service task force, and what we started with at our May meeting was we got some results from what we called the discovery phase. We sent a consultant out to talk to our stakeholders, customers, and get some feedback that we could use. The purpose of the customer service task force is to improve our customer service. So we took the results from that discovery phase finding, and we worked together, the board worked together, to identify and prioritize four areas of focus that we're going to begin to address.
So you received a lot of input, and you decided to focus on these four particular items.
Correct.
Yeah, let's talk about those.
Right, yeah, and we received a lot of input, and you can't tackle everything at once. So I think as an organization seeks process improvement, seeks to improve, it's important to just start to, you know, prioritize on some first things, get those accomplished, and then move on to the other things. We will, just because we identified four right now doesn't mean that's the end-all, be-all. But like I said, you have to start somewhere. So we started with working on some listening skills and development of our personal relationship. And I think this is a key area that the board can demonstrate their leadership on and model the behavior that can extend across the organization. As you said, the CAP board is the governing board, is the board that provides the policy direction and oversight to the CAP's activities. So I think if you're going to look to change an organization or improve an organization, it's important to start with the leadership, start at the top. And that's what we want to do.
And trust comes into play.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a big deal.
Trust was a big issue. Trust of our committees. Trust our stakeholders need to trust that the information that they're getting is accurate. And we always strive for transparency. One of the things we want to do is work on those board committees and empower our board committees. We have the public policy, finance audit power, and the CAGRD, particularly standing committees. And those are where substantive discussions should start. And those committees should really foster that good feedback. And it also allows our stakeholders to give feedback at the earliest possible opportunity. We want to explore ways to make better use of our meetings. And again, it's the theme that's a recurring theme. Improve our stakeholder relationship and create new processes where needed to better hear all perspectives.
And you're still very open to hearing from the stakeholders and how they can participate in the process.
No, oh, absolutely. And again, thank you to all of our stakeholders and customers who've participated to date. But in addition to being able to attend our meetings, either in person or watching them live stream, we've set up an email where people can submit comments or questions, and that's csTF@cap-az.com, and that stands for Customer Service Task Force. And so, you know, we do invite continued input from our stakeholders and our ratepayers and anybody that thinks they have something that we need to consider. We'd like to collect as much feedback as possible. Our next meeting is going to be June 21st at 1 p.m. And, you know, Bill, we can't improve upon things that we don't know about. So it's really essential for people to continue to, you know, participate with us. The board wants to hear the feedback and the input and use that to help improve the organization. And like I said, all good organizations need to be open and willing to improve. And that's what we're doing.
Where are your meetings held, this next task force meeting on the 21st?
All our meetings are held at CAP headquarters. That's okay. North Phoenix. But again, they CAP-AZ.com. You can live stream from anywhere in the world,
wow,
just like your show.
There you go. I want to talk about a couple of very important items, the relationship with the CAP and the Department of Water Resources. What's the status, Karen Caesar, of the whole drought contingency plan, the relationship with the Arizona Department of Water Resources?
Well, CAP is committed to beginning a fresh conversation within Arizona, including and specifically with ADWR, as well as our other stakeholders, to chart a path forward for an effective drought contingency plan, or the DCP. This is an important effort in Arizona to help bridge from where we are and to prepare for a potential shortage or maybe avert a shortage. We'd like to bring this issue to closure in Arizona by addressing a broad range of issues with that respects the concerns of all of our stakeholders across the state. The discussions, the fresh conversation between DWR and CAWCD are really only the first step in a process that will expand to include other participants, you know, and other participation by stakeholders. I want to say that, you know, the DCP in Arizona is a group effort, and we are very excited to start this fresh conversation.
Well, another issue that's been in the news is the Navajo Generating Plant. What's the status now, Karen, on that particular issue?
Well, Bill, let me give you a little bit of background on that. CAP does not have an ownership stake in the Navajo Generating Station. However, historically, NGS, Navajo Generating Station, provided much of the energy that was used to pump the CAP water. In fact, as much as 90% of our power needs were met by NGS at one time. But that amount has decreased in recent years, and in fact, in 2016 and 2017, NGS supplied only 70 to 75% of our energy needs, and that's expected to be about the same for this year. So with that, and remembering that CAP is a public entity with a responsibility to our ratepayers to deliver a reliable water supply at the lowest reasonable cost, recently other energy sources have been available at lower cost, and that's why we've moved to buy energy on the market. Doing so allowed us to significantly reduce our pumping energy costs, and therefore that's resulted in savings to all our water users, including Indian tribes, agriculture, municipal water users, and industrial water users.
So what are the current owners of the Navajo Generating Station saying about all of this?
Well, the current owners, they've stated that they are not going to operate the plant beyond 2019. And this information was announced over a year ago, about a year ago. So with that information and needing to, the day they shut the lights off there, ensure that we have power to pump our water, late last year in November 2017, we issued a request for proposal for energy to deliver to be delivered beginning January 1st, 2020. So we received numerous responses, and those were discussed in open meetings on our March and April board meetings. And in fact, in May, we discussed it again, where the board selected what we call the lowest cost portfolio. And those contracts will be coming to the board for consideration and possible approval at our board meeting tomorrow. So the new power portfolio includes a minimum amount of renewable energy. This is something new. This is actually very exciting. A lot of people are very, very excited that CAP is including renewable energy in our power portfolio. And even with the minimum right now, there's the potential to increase that based upon cost and other factors, such as when our demand aligns with the production of solar. So, you know, we are CAP and NGS. We are not obligated to purchase the power from NGS after the current contract expires in 2019. But we have stated many times in board meetings that if a new ownership group emerges, and we know that there are several that are looking at this, we welcome the opportunity to contract for competitively priced what we call post-2019 power from NGS. So even after, even if we approve the contracts tomorrow and CAP executes those contracts, there's still lots of room in our CAP power portfolio for both short and longer term opportunities if there are new potential owners of NGS.
So the door would still be open to talk, certainly with a new potential new NGS owners.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's an important issue, and that's one that the board has repeatedly made those comments. So,
of course, Karen, the big issue is about the water supply and shortage right now. We know this has not been a great winter for snowpack in the Colorado Rockies. We've been in now the 18th year of a drought here in the Southwest. So what does that mean now for Arizona and the Colorado River water supply?
Well, you're right. It has not been a good winter for the Colorado River system. It's hard to think on a 105-degree day. It's hard to even picture snow in the Rockies. And it's even harder when we really didn't see a lot of it this past year. But what that means is the projected inflow into Lake Powell is going to be about half of the normal inflow, which is making the Colorado River system, and particularly Arizona, more vulnerable to shortage as soon as 2020. And while one bad year like we had doesn't mean immediate shortage, if next year's is a repeat, then there's a very likely, high probability that we will trigger a shortage by 2020. So we're getting ready.
That's the big issue. If it does trigger the shortage, what does the shortage mean to Arizona?
Well, it impacts CAP water users in three ways. First, it eliminates deliveries to our drought protection underground storage through the Arizona Water Bank, as well as eliminating our aquifer replenishment, which supports groundwater management. So recharge banking is eliminated off the top. Second, it significantly reduces the water supplies to our CAP agriculture water users, and those are primarily in Pinal County. And then finally, it increases the water rates for CAP customers, because if you're delivering less water, same fixed cost, your unit price has to go up. So everybody will feel it. If you don't, feel it in your reduction, you'll feel it in your rates.
So we'll hope for rain.
That's right. And we continue to prepare for this shortage. This is not a surprise. We have been, since 2014, implementing conservation programs to reduce the risk of a shortage. And along with Nevada and California, we've been able to keep the Colorado River system out of shortage for 2015, 16, 17, 18, and likely in 19. So, we've been postponing this day. We hope it won't come. Like I said, hope for the best, prepare for the worst. But I will sure keep your listeners updated on my next visit.
Yeah, okay. And we will look for that in the next quarter with Karen Caesar. Thank you very much, Karen, from Central Arizona Water Conservation District. I always get that. Make sure that acronym is out there. CAWCD. There you go.
That's it.
Karen, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Likewise, Bill. Thank you so much.
All right. Be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Many people ask me what it will take to make our community a better place. Well, it takes all of us. Our greatest resources are retired people with a lifetime of experience, skills, and resources that could be used to transform our community. Many of you come from somewhere else and haven't fully connected. Our community needs you and needs you now. I encourage you to find a nonprofit or church and join them in helping to transform Tucson. Your retirement could be the most productive time in your life. Going to be another hot week here in Southern Arizona. Good time to head over to Silver City. It's just a 3-hour drive east of Tucson, and the temperature will be 10 to 15 degrees cooler. So many activities and great places to stay. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of places to stay and the many recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's go now on the live line to Marana, Arizona, and the mayor of Marana, Ed Honey. Mayor Honey, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thank you.
What's going on with the downtown? I know that the Marana Town Council unanimously agreed to change some changes to make it easier for developers to invest in the future downtown. What is that downtown going to look like in the future?
Well, it's going to be the headquarters for a lot of things in Marana. The Marana School District, the Town of Marana, Marana Health Center, and eventually Northwest Fire. So, you know, our downtown was torn down in the 60s when they built I-10. So we're trying to kind of build a hub in Marana where if a new business or a new person moves to town, they can enroll their kids in school, you know, and check with the town on permitting and everything else. So what we did a couple months ago is we put kind of an umbrella zoning over our downtown district. And what it does with individuals that own land down there is they have an option. They can use the zoning of the kind of the umbrella we put over the top, or they can use the existing zoning they have on their land. What that does for a business person, if they come in and want to use that commercial designation, they don't have to go through the process because it's already there.
I did not realize, so in the 1960s when I-10 was built, that cut through what was then the downtown of Marana?
Right. I mean, we had a Goodman's Grocery and, you know, several little shops and a barbershops and all kinds of things. And they wouldn't be able to get away with that now, but in the 60s they weren't, you know, they tore down pretty much all of Marana's downtown business district at the time. They tore down the old high school at Marana, which would be a historic building. It was an old mud adobe, you know, two-story yeah. building with a basement and everything else. So really just kind of destroyed our identity. I mean, we were a farming and ranching and mining community anyway, but we did have kind of a downtown core. And we're trying to rebuild that.
Because right now there really isn't much of a downtown core, is there, Mayor?
Well, I mean, the Marana Health Center, the school district, and the town hall are all there within a couple blocks of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And Northwest Fire, I think, is looking at putting their administrative building out there as well for their fire district. And that's what we're trying to do, is make it kind of a downtown business district for, like I said, businesses or families. And what we hope to do is get a couple restaurants down there and maybe a few shops. And by doing this dual zoning, we hope that will make it easier for individuals to do so.
What's your spending picture look like as we close out the fiscal year, Mayor Honey?
Oh, we're in good shape. We're in really good shape. We came in under budget. We'll probably put a couple million in our reserve fund. We're doing a lot of things right now, building a new police headquarters, a new wastewater facility, which will come online this week, I believe. And, you know, Ina Road, Tangerine Road, and there's just a lot of things going on in Marana right now.
What are your merchants telling you about sales going? How are things going? How's the economy going?
The economy is fantastic. We just got a budget report last night at our council meeting, and excuse me, everything is going really well. Hotels and are doing extremely well. They're coming in way over budget, and everything else is running about even with budget.
And your hotel rooms, occupancy is good?
Occupancy rate is really good. You know, we have 5 hotels at Port Carroll, 5 at Ina, and then Ritz-Carlton and a couple other higher-end type hotel resort type things. We have a new Hampton Inn coming in at the mall there at the Simon Outlet Mall.
What did the mall people tell you? You're about 1 year out of that. That was built about a year ago. Is that about right?
Yeah, they're about 2 years.
2 years
and,
ago.
What has happened is some of the national retailers have gone out of business.
Uh-huh.
And there's a few empty storefronts there, but the existing merchants are doing well. Actually, sales tax collections are coming in higher than last year.
Good. Robert would like to got a quick question from one of our listeners. Robert, go ahead. You're with the mayor of Marana, Ed Honey. Let's see if we can work your question in quickly, please.
Hey, Bill. Hi. Mayor Honey. Why can't we seem to sustain a world-class water park in Marana?
Okay.
Well, the Breakers Water Park's about 25 years old. If your listeners don't know, Bill, that shut down.
Okay.
That water park, it just got to the point they hadn't been doing a lot of maintenance on it, and in order to maintain a water park, you got to charge about $30 a person.
Whoa.
And to be honest with you, when they closed, they were at 26 if you didn't have a special coupon or something like that. Big Sur in Phoenix is over $30.
Wow.
But there's more wealth in Phoenix and more people.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is those pools are so big. This was a wave pool and all kinds of fancy slides. And what the ownership told me is minimum wage really hurt them. For a lot of big events, they'll hire 100 young people, either high school juniors or seniors or college students. And going from $8 to $10.50, you know, for 100 people over a 4 or 5 hour period, and they said that just really kind of cut into the margin of trying to make a profit.
Yeah. When did you say that Hampton Inn is opening up, Mayor?
It's going to be a few more months. It's pretty well framed out. You can see it from the freeway if you drive by.
Okay.
You know, it's going to be 104 rooms. And we've got some new apartments going over there as well. Bert Lopez, HSL Properties, are building apartments down at the end of the mall as well. One of the things we really need in Marin is upper-end type apartments.
Right,
and we have three sets of them now, but we need about 10, you
okay.
know, and that's school teachers or police officers or different
right.
people that want to move closer to work.
That's it.
But don't necessarily want to buy a home.
Okay. Mayor Honey, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you.
Mayor Ed Honey, the mayor of Marana, with us on the live line. Coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw from 4 to 6. Wake Up 6 to 9, and then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you at 12:04. On behalf of all of us here at KVOI, have a great afternoon and evening.